Good afternoon, and welcome to Monday Memos from Concordia Seminary. We're delighted to interview today a man whose face is becoming more and more familiar here at the seminary as time goes on. And I suspect that he too feels more and more at home here on our campus. We have with us today Pastor E.J. Otto of Quincy, Illinois, who is the chairman of the seminary's Board of Control. Pastor Otto, welcome to Monday Memos. We've had you on this program once before, but that was almost a year ago, and I'm sure that many interesting things have happened in the Board of Control since then. Am I right?
This is, as Luther says in the Small Catechism, most certainly true.
To begin with, there are several new board members since last summer. Can you give us a bit of a report on the change of personnel in the board?
Well, Gladys, as you know, the board has 11 men, 9 of whom are elective. And that means that each convention, the elections are staggered. That is, 4 are elected at one convention, 5 at the next, and they keep alternating. So at the Anaheim Convention, there were 4 new ones elected. Previously, these would have been 2 pastors, 1 teacher, and 1 layman.
Mm-hmm.
But an earlier convention had said that there shall be henceforth 2 parochial school teachers on the board, and of course that absorbed one of the layman positions. So what we have then, as new members, are Pastor Neil Schmidt of Grand Forks, North Dakota, Pastor Edgar Ravalt of Minneapolis, Minnesota, and 2 teachers, Alger Tormolin from here in the St. Louis area, and Henry Bergman from Michigan. And,
I see. Uh-huh. Anything particular that you want to tell us about any of these? Sure they're all good men, well-qualified.
4 good men, faithful and true, as the old saying goes. But to speak a little more seriously, these men have now been with us for several meetings, in fact, since their election last summer. And they are very able men, and they think well, and they think independently.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want a bunch of yes men on that Board of Control. And so Synod, under the benediction of God, gave us 4 good, solid thinkers, and for this we're grateful.
Fine. What interesting things have taken place in your board meetings since the last time we talked on the air?
Well, to start out in perhaps a general way, rather than to become specific immediately, I think your question was interesting things.
Mm-hmm.
But in general, I suppose we'd have to say this has been the interesting time that one would have in any transition period.
Mm-hmm.
Without harking back to the more difficult days of the school, we have been in this rebuilding time. And, of course, it's somewhat like a parish, I guess. I remember the 2 building programs I've gone through.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, this was building in brick and stone.
Yes.
But it involves a building committee, and it involves people, and it involves money. And it's always an exciting, if trying, time.
Mm-hmm.
And while we are rebuilding here in another way, but it is just as exciting and probably just as trying. In fact, you know more about that than I do. But this has involved, of course, increasing the faculty mightily to match the growing student body. And when you have growing pains like we have here, when in 1 year's time there is a 50% increase in the student body, you try to guess what the next student body is going to be so you have an adequate faculty to deal with them and to teach them.
Right.
And then you have some other headaches, nice headaches, as you well know, but perhaps not all of your listeners, that today the majority, I don't know the exact percentage, but the majority of our students are married.
Mm-hmm.
And the dormitories on this campus, not only the original ones 50 years ago, but the ones that have been built since then all had single students in mind.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got the married student housing, call it a challenge, to face up to, and we're right in the middle of this to do it the best possible way, and certainly right close to the campus here so that these married students and their families really become a part of the seminary family.
In other words, the board is giving considerable thought to what might be done about this, quote, problem.
You mean the married student house?
Yes.
Oh, we're past the just giving considerable thought. We've sent some proposals to the Board for Higher Education, and they have asked for additional information, and we're in the very active interchange. We are even at the point where we have spelled out the cost and how this could be met and how it could be financed and so on.
I see. From our point of view, of course, Pastor Otto, one of the greatest things that has happened is the removal of our probation by the APS. We spoke about this with Dr. Klotz on this program last month. Perhaps you have a comment or two to make on that also. Specifically, I'm wondering whether the visiting team of the APS had anything to say about the Board of Control in its report. First of all, did the team meet with the board?
Oh, yes. This was a three-man team that was sent in here to review the probation and the various notations against the accreditation. And, of course, that three-man team from the ATS, American, or the Association of Theological Schools, they spent a number of days here on campus. But they did ask to meet with the board, and I think there were six out of the 11 members of the board that were able to make it to St. Louis,
I see.
Including me, for this meeting. And, of course, one always tries to read ahead and guess as to what kind of an impression you are making on these people. And, of course, I'm sure that if you spoke with Dr. Klotz last month, he reviewed with great joy the report of this committee.
Right.
And, of course, our Board of Control felt the same way. They, I don't have their lengthy report with me, but they said some very nice things about the board, that the board seemed made up of very capable men, that they certainly understood what they were up to. You may recall one of the notations of the probation was that the Board of Control really wasn't exerting all that much control.
That's right.
So we have, as you well know, devoted some of our time to controlling. And this apparently impressed them quite favorably, because they said some very nice things about the board.
Good. One thing that I imagine the board has discussed is the kind of theological education program we intend to offer at our seminary. What kind of program do you envision for the future?
Well, obviously, any educational program at either of our two seminaries, ours here, or what we have always called the Springfield Seminary, and you may want to talk about that a little bit later, to be faithful to the program as laid out for us and for our two seminaries by Synod, must continue to be to have a major emphasis on the basics, our doctrinal stand in Synod, on an unreserved dedication to the Bible as the Word of God and the Lutheran Confessions as a faithful exposition thereof. That means, in turn, that if the Bible is that to us here at this school, as the very Word of God, that means there's going to have to be a continued emphasis on the study of the original languages, and we'll continue to have Greek, in which the New Testament originally was written, and Hebrew for the Old Testament, and the basic departments certainly will have to be maintained, again stemming from the fundamental view of the Bible as the very Word of God, the department of so-called exegesis, which means studying the text itself, bringing out of the text what God has put into it, is going to have to continue to be a strong department here. Then the department called systematics, where various doctrines or the passages of the Bible dealing with one doctrine, for instance, on baptism, are all put together and
the scriptural doctrine of baptism is established. And then, of course, we have the time-honored historical department, the practical department. So these will be with us. Of course, beyond that, any good school, good administration, good board of control sits rather loose. And we look at our day, and we look at what's going on in our world, and the needs of people, needs of people, that is, through their parish pastors. And we will do our utmost under God's blessing to give them the sort of pastors that they need in this our day.
You made a reference to the Springfield Seminary. How will our program be different from the program at Springfield, or won't there be any difference?
That is right now in the process of being discussed. We, several months ago, sent a memo. When I say we, our Board of Control here at the St. Louis Seminary, sent a memo to the Board of Board for Higher Education of Synod, asking them to call a meeting, and I'm sure this will end up a series of meetings, with representatives from our seminary here and representatives from the Springfield Seminary. And the specific goal will be precisely that, that representatives of our two seminaries meeting with men from the BHE, the Board for Higher Education, will discuss the programs, present and future, of both of our seminaries. The reason for that is because we, of course, are in the process of rebuilding here. By the same token, Springfield is engaged in a rather challenging business of moving their whole operation to Fort Wayne. And we feel, and I'm sure correctly so, that now, before the lines all get set and hardened, is the time for us to discuss together in a very responsible way the educational program at both schools. The reason for this being is as follows. First of all, of course, the Springfield, or we got to get used to now saying Fort Wayne, seminary will have to and will want to have the same basics that we have, the same doctrinal position, the same, or approximately the same, at least, language requirements, and the basic departments of exegesis, systematics, historical, and practical. But beyond that, in our day and time, there are needs of special ministries, which covers a broad spectrum, and certainly the maintenance and the good stewardship of talent, manpower, and money suggests that there is no real good reason for running exactly parallel programs in these special ministry areas here and in Fort Wayne. And so we will, I guess the expression is that we're talking on the same wavelength. What we want the Board for Higher Education to do is to be talking to us and to be talking to folks from Springfield, Fort Wayne, and saying, all right, now here are your basics, and now here are the needs of today's world, here are the special ministries, and now which of these special ministries will St. Louis stress, which of these special ministry training programs will Fort Wayne stress, so we don't duplicate efforts. So that's a long-winded answer to your question, I think, was, will there be any difference in the two programs? I'm sure that there will be.
You've had considerable exposure to the students on campus here, Pastor Otto. In a general way, what kind of vibes do you get from them? And how do they receive you? What are they interested in hearing from you?
Well, what exposure I've had, and at this board meeting, of course, I came in early and have been spending a day here and there and chatting with students informally, formally in the classroom, got a chance to attend a couple of classes, and I'm impressed with them in general as a student body. Of course, considerable exposure, I think, was your term, and yet it is limited exposure. Maybe I could approach it from a negative standpoint, that I have not seen or heard anything that distressed me in any way, and they were very kind. I spent about 2 hours talking to a large group of them last night. In their reception and their questions, they seem very candid and open. I did this sort of thing last year about this time, and I can see one real change, that the present student body is no longer looking back as much as the last year's one. And I think that's all to the good, because the present student body doesn't have the ties anymore to those several difficult years that last year's bunch did, and the ones here now are looking ahead, and that's the direction to look, so I really enjoyed it.
If I'm not mistaken, you were graduated from this seminary 37 years ago.
It can't be that long.
But it's got to be. As you meet with students now, what are the major differences between the present student body and the student body as it existed when you were here? Do the students today think the same as they did when you were here, for instance?
Well, I suppose there are some things that are the same and some things that are different. Backing up a moment to this business about my graduating 37 years ago.
You're not really disputing that, are you?
No, not really, because Gladys, I know you always do your homework, and I know before you ask that question, I know that somewhere in the last couple of days, you looked in the Lutheran Annual.
I certainly did.
And you looked at what year I graduated, and you subtracted that from 1976.
Something like that.
And you came up with 37, and your arithmetic is impeccable.
Okay.
All right, so we have taken care of the 37, and it is most certainly true. And by the way, this has nothing to do with the questions you're asking, but I have spent them all at the same parish.
Oh, really?
I founded that parish, and so we have a kind of a standing joke in Quincy when... when a pastor goes anywhere, you know, people say, well, where are you, pastor? And say, Our Redeemer in Quincy, Illinois. Well, how do you like that parish? And with great feeling, I say, that's the best parish I ever had. But I don't tell them it was the only one. And, of course, it works the other way when, you know, visitors come in and people visit forth and back and they visit any of my parishioners and they say, well, what's your pastor's name? They tell them. They say, well, how do you like Pastor Otto? And with equal feeling, they say, he's the best pastor we ever had. we have that nice thing going.
Right.
Now, let's see, you asked about the difference of students between now and 37 years ago. Well, students are students. There's some things that hardly ever change. You will find one student that wants more electives, and you will find about the time, I guess, you get ready to give them more electives, you'll find another student that says, nuts to the electives, let's have all required subjects. And if you say, how's your workload? I have never known a student body that said the workload is too light. They all figure that there ought to be a little more of an evangelical approach, and the workload should be a little less. And students always find some things to complain about in a, you know, kind of a mild way. And if they didn't, why, we would most certainly say that, you know, there's something wrong here. If you don't hear a few, you know, pearls of wisdom about how to improve the school from students, there's something wrong in that student body.
I think so.
So there are some things that haven't changed, and I guess thank God for that. I like a few things that don't move around. And I think in all fairness to these young men today, they are an improvement in two ways over what we were. One, I think they are more mature. And I suppose some of that comes from the fact that the majority of them are married.
Yes, I would think so.
And, you know, when you're single, even if you're 23, 24 years old, you're in the dormitory and... all you have to do is listen to the bell, and when the bell rings, you get up and you pick up your books and you go to the dining hall and you eat breakfast and you go to the classroom. And that's sort of wife has a tendency to make you somewhat selfish, mm-hmm. because you don't have to think of anybody but yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I think it keeps you from growing up, because this is a wonderful and lovely campus. But it's its own little world here, yeah, the 72
true.
Acres.
Mm-hmm.
And especially when I went here in the height of the Depression, we simply didn't have hardly the dime, which the fare was in those days, to get on a bus and go anywhere.
Yeah.
So we were really kind of locked in our own little world, and therefore remained, to some extent, immature.
Mm-hmm.
So they get out more, they get into field programs more, and as stated, a majority of the students are married,
mm-hmm.
and which makes them more mature.
Yeah. Didn't you have a field work program at the time you were a student here?
Well, there was some going on. I do remember occasionally hearing of what we considered some oddball who taught a Bible class somewhere, mm-hmm. and we'd say to one another, what's the matter with him?
Mm-hmm.
Because most of us figured this was where we lived and moved and had our being, was
mm-hmm.
right here
mm-hmm.
on the campus. So there was some activity, certainly, but not anywhere along the lines that they have today.
No training in hospital work, for instance, or any other institutional work?
Some of that, I think, was available on a strictly voluntary basis, but I did no field work when I was my 3 years here. I didn't even teach Sunday school class anywhere. Wasn't ever asked to.
That's interesting.
And only rarely did preaching,
mm-hmm.
and no hospital work.
Uh-huh.
So,
would you go so far as to say then that our students now are perhaps better prepared for the ministry?
Certainly in those areas.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know about academically. I think probably we had more Greek and Hebrew.
Mm-hmm.
I think we were better equipped. Not because they're dumber than we are. They aren't. But they have not had, I was talking to some of the students today and asked them how many quarters of Greek and Hebrew they had in our system coming up through the junior college at Fort Wayne and then here.
Mm-hmm.
And we had considerably more Greek and Hebrew before we set foot on the campus than they do.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we were more knowledgeable in those two areas. But certainly, they are much more knowledgeable in a lot of these other areas, and they are more experienced when they leave here
mm-hmm.
than we were.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. I see that our time is rapidly drawing to a close, but I'm wondering if there's anything else that you would like to comment on, Pastor Otto. Anything that you feel should be said as chairman of the Board of Control?
Well, we talked about the students. Maybe we could say a little bit about the faculty.
Yes.
We now have a faculty matching pretty closely our needs.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, good stewardship means that we can't bring men in here and have them sitting idle while we wait to
right.
increase the student body.
Mm-hmm.
So we try to match it, and I think at present we have 23 men on the faculty.
Mm-hmm.
I think, what, about five of those were from the former faculty,
yeah.
the veterans.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But these new men have gelled, in my opinion, have gelled wonderfully.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, the ATS Accreditation Committee commented on that for a bunch of men that are brought in from all over the country, many of them not knowing each other,
mm-hmm.
that they have, in a very wonderful way, welded very quickly into a real faculty community. And most of them coming out as pastorates. I think the students are benefiting immeasurably from this, because when these professors teach in the classroom and say, all right, now what we're learning here, this is the way it works in the parish,
mm-hmm.
they know what they're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this has not always been true here.
Been more theory, perhaps, and
that's
right. Got a good combination.
That's right.
Uh-huh.
Well, I took a course here one summer, and they're mostly pastors, I think, seven or eight in this summer
mm-hmm.
school, and the professor said, well, I've never been to parish ministry, so I really can't answer the question.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so we have very fine faculty. They're very approachable, and yet they have the same outlook and the same doctrinal position that was here when I went to school. The Bible is the Word of God, the Lutheran Confession, Synod's doctrinal stance, and that's great.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so very much, Pastor Otto, for being with us today, for sharing your thoughts with us. I know that you're a very, very busy man, And we do appreciate your taking time for this. Thank you so much.